Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt as always. Today's February 16th, one day before Michael Jordan's birthday, our half birthday, which means it's Davy Crockett's half birthday, Jorge Posada's half birthday. What was it, Bucky Lassick? Was that the name of the skater?
I think that's right, yeah.
His half birthday. Most importantly, Michael Jordan's birthday is tomorrow, the 17th, though. Usually we record on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Matt needed a little bit more time to decompress from the Eagles loss, so it wasn't just him moping the whole time. So I think he'll still be mopey, just maybe not as much.
Yeah, it would not have been a very fun episode to listen to, I think. So,
and we're mostly going to talk about the Super Bowl and really kind of review all the NFL awards. You know, most valuable player, coach of year, blah, 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 all that stuff. And really, I guess my thing I want to start with on the Super Bowl is I don't want to say we were wrong about Jalen Hurts, because in college, I think it was what it was. He wasn't a great passer in college, but boy, did he get better.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll say I was wrong about Jalen Hurts.
I didn't think he'd be able to get better. Same thing with, Lamar Jackson. Like, the first year or the second year jump was, unbelievable, and maybe took – it wasn't as stark from one year to year two, but, yeah, what an improvement from Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. He had three, maybe four really great deep passes that granted his receivers – helped him out on quite a bit, but if you're going to throw that deep of a pass, then the receiver's going to need to do a good amount of work, and it's going to be a phenomenal catch. And so, yeah, man. And just, you know, he had that one to Dallas Goedert that floated just over the hands of, I don't remember which Kansas City defender.
Yeah, I was seeing that, because while we were watching the game, I commented to you, what a beautifully layered throw, getting it over the linebacker, under the secondary. And literally, they're, both on Dallas Goedert. So it was, had to be a perfect throw. He was dealing with pressure all night. Just really – and at Alabama, he was a good college quarterback, but he had clear limitations as a passer, which limited both Alabama and Oklahoma. So the Eagles take him in the second round. You're thinking, well, that's – most Eagles fans weren't happy. In my head, as a neutral person, that's a good pick. Take a shot. Probably nothing's going to happen with that. Carson Wentz was just coming off a great season. And that's one of the best, probably the best pick in Eagles history from a value perspective and where they got him and things like that. It might be revisionist history.
Yeah.
Might be biased, but.
We did draft Nick Foles, you know, so.
Did you?
I'm pretty sure we did.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I thought we had.
No, I believe you.
But anyway, yeah. Yeah, what a great improvement by him, and I am just thrilled to have him as the quarterback. You know, I don't as much as I love him, I don't know whether we're going to rank him in the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. But certainly, you know, I don't think he's someone you need an all-time great defense in order to win a Super Bowl. I think you need a good team, but that's true of pretty much everybody except for Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, yeah.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers has only done it once.
Yeah, well, he also had Mike McCarthy as his coach.
Yeah, that's true. Man, Dallas, what are they doing? Mike McCarthy calling play. I think Jerry Jones is just trying to get a more excusable reason to fire Mike McCarthy, so let him call plays this year. I don't know what else it would be.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan. I mean, I'm sure he's a fantastic guy, but I've never been a fan of, his football coaching.
Yeah, I mean, if you have Aaron Rodgers for the whole of his career and you win one Super Bowl, something has gone wrong.
Seriously. And this is devolving into an offseason podcast, but I don't see, people are Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets, blah, blah, blah. I think the Packers have, a $60 million dead cap hit if they trade Aaron Rodgers. I don't know how they can trade Aaron Rodgers.
I thought that was the whole thing about him agreeing to come back is come for one more year and then you can go to somewhere else. I thought that was the whole point of this year.
Maybe I'll be honest. I don't understand the dead cap. I thought they would take on a huge dead cap hit if they traded him, but I probably just read the contract wrong.
Yeah.
See, these are things if we prepared, we could look up before, but we kind of do this on the fly.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very fun.
That's not fun at all. No.
Not our style.
Well, I was telling somebody who was talking to us about the podcast this week or last week. Like how we do it.
Our family? Or?
Maybe it was like just me. But someone was asking me like, what's your process for the podcast? And I was telling them, well, I used to, you know, really like not prepare, but like plan it and organize it. Like we're going to talk about this. And then we had Yogi Roth on, who's probably one of my favorite guests we've ever had. Mm-hmm. He's the man.
He was great.
Yeah. Pac-12 Network. And I was talking to him like, this is what we're going to ask you, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, dude, let's grip it and rip it, dude. So I was like, okay. And it was awesome. So ever since then, like we talk about what we're going to talk about, but like we don't, other than that, that's all we do.
Yeah.
And it's funner that way.
It is more fun, yeah.
But it also leads to stuff like us Googling things mid-podcast and things like that.
So there's that.
Yeah.
So yeah, love Jalen Hurts to finish this conversation about the Eagles. And then I suppose we should probably talk about the Super Bowl at least a little bit.
A little bit.
Their offense coordinator was hired to be the head coach of the Colts. And our defense coordinator was hired to be the head coach of the Cardinals, which I'm not thrilled about. I mean, I'm happy for those guys.
Can I say welcome to my life as a 49ers fan?
Yeah.
Every year.
Right.
So.
I mean, you still figure out a way to manage. It's just, I don't know that Nick Sirianni is the genius that Kyle Shanahan is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I love Nick Sirianni. He's great. He's clearly proved that he's a phenomenal head coach. The guys really like him. He had, you know, one of the best moments in the Super Bowl, just sobbing during the national anthem.
Openly weeping.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
But what a cool moment to see, like how happy that made him, how much it meant to him.
Yeah.
You know, that's who you want coaching your team.
Well, and they're saying on the pregame that, like before regular games, to listen to Whitney Houston's version of the national anthem from Super Bowl 25. Mm-hmm. And, like, he'll cry during that. So maybe he's just really patriotic or just, like, fulfilling of his dreams, like, kind of combination of everything.
Yeah, bringing everything together. I don't know.
Oh, I'm excited because I think there's a chance that Brian Johnson, former Utah quarterback, who was a quarterback's coach, could become your offensive coordinator. And I'd love to see him get another shot. He led what I think is the best drive in college football history. Best opening drive, at least. Utah Sugar Bowl opening drive. Brian Johnson literally just walked down the field. Right. Five passes, five completions, and four of them were first downs. Just like, it looked like they were playing on air.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And you weren't excited about that as I was back in the day.
No, I was not as excited about it. But I mean, I like Brian Johnson. I think he's really a good coach.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, I liked what he was doing for Utah when he was their play caller. I don't have as good of a memory for you as Utah football, so I don't know if that endured being a great play caller that whole time, but
yeah.
You know, I'd be open to seeing what he can do.
Well, and then he got experience, so Kyle Whittingham, Utah's head coach, even admitted that he made him the play or offensive coordinator too early, but I thought he was doing as good as any other coordinator in Utah.
Yeah.
But then he went to Mississippi State and Florida with Dan Mullen, so he's coaching quarterbacks at two SEC schools, calling plays a little bit at Houston as well at some point. I'm kind of mixing up his thoughts. But he's coached at Utah, Houston, Florida, Mississippi State, offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach between them. This year's first year in the NFL, quarterbacks coach with the Eagles. And I'm sure 98% of the Jalen Hurts, but I'm sure Brian Johnson helped a little bit.
Yeah, well, and I think it's a good match. I mean, you could tell me more. I think that they're probably more similar than a lot of quarterbacks. I don't think that, you know, the RPO had developed quite as far along as it has now when Brian Johnson was playing for Utah. And I think Jalen Hurts is definitely more of a runner than Brian Johnson was. But I also don't remember Brian Johnson being totally a pocket passer. I mean, you can probably speak more to that.
When he was in college, he, like, could run. Like, you need to. Jalen Hurts is, like, the strongest dude on the team, and that's not Brian Johnson.
Right.
You know? So when, like, Jalen Hurts runs, it's, like, quarterback sneaks or, like, QB power, like, design runs like that. Brian Johnson could create plays and if he needed to, but they weren't designing runs as much. And he was a bit of a better passer, especially in college than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of similarities for sure. And Brian Johnson, like, he worked with Dak Prescott. He worked with Kyle Trask, who's in the NFL, probably mm-hmm. not doing much, but like he worked with a bunch of good quarterbacks in college. Dak Prescott's probably the most famous one. And yeah, I mean, they've done really well. He's really smart, really good coach. Now, again, this is becoming a Brian Johnson podcast, but I think he interviewed for the Jets. I think he'll become the Eagles off. I would imagine he's the Eagles offensive coordinator. I don't know that. I'm sure they'll interview a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
But if he did good this year and Sirianni likes him, might as well stay in the house with someone Jalen Hurts likes.
Yeah. If Jalen Hurts likes him and they can keep up that sort of thing. And like, I feel like, you know, they know what works well. And the offense, I think, is going to stay more consistent than the defense next year, except for the offensive line. I think that's unfortunately going to get broken up at least a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think if Johnson becomes offensive coordinator, then they would just keep that same Sirianni system.
Yeah.
Which Sirianni might want, you know.
Right,
as yeah. opposed to someone coming in and having their own system.
Yeah, and I think that's how you get the best out of Jalen Hurts. I think this is the perfect system, the best skill players to go with Jalen Hurts. And so, yeah, I hope they're doing something really, really similar.
Yeah. Now, from the Chiefs' side, it was their third Super Bowl appearance in 5 years, fifth AFC championship. If they would have lost this, I would have been – sorry, the hiccups. A little bit disappointed as a Chiefs fan. Five AFC championships, one Super Bowl win. I think it would have been hard to be disappointed when there's teams like the Raiders out there.
Right.
But so I think getting the win, winning two out of three – winning 3 out of 5 AFC championships, I think that's a much – it's only one game, but I think that makes their whole five-year thing look so much better than if they'd have lost.
Well, it would feel like – and, I mean, man, Andy Reid is such a good coach. I think he was in Philadelphia 11 years, went to seriously like 7 NFC championships, only went to one Super Bowl and then lost that, though. But, yeah, him getting two conference championships games – is just absolutely phenomenal. And so if we're going to lose a Super Bowl, I want to lose to Andy Reid. I love that guy.
He's a cool dude. Patrick Mahomes. I was getting so annoyed this season when people were saying Josh Allen was the best quarterback. You know I'm not a Chiefs fan.
Right.
Not a Chiefs hater. Not a Bills fan. Not a Bills. I don't really care about the AFC that much.
Yeah.
But there's no way Josh Allen is a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely.
And it was getting so annoying. I think, honestly, the most impressive game for Patrick Mahomes was a Super Bowl they lost to Tampa Bay when he was running for his life the whole game.
It was like me and you playing offensive line.
Yeah. Well, like we've seen, like when we were in college, BYU played Michigan and BYU got steamrolled. And Tanner Mangum, the BYU quarterback, was literally running for his life the entire game. And BYU, I don't think they crossed midfield.
No, truly the worst game I've ever seen. No receiver ever had more than about 3 inches of separation. Tanner Mang, I don't think he had more than 2 seconds to throw the entire game.
And any quarterback, if you don't have that, if you have pressure in your face all the time right away, you can't do anything. And that Super Bowl was a game. Like, any other quarterback has that kind of pressure in the Super Bowl, and the Buccaneers went by, like, 30.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes was, like, throwing from his, like, belly button, basically. Do you remember that throw? It was, like, diving
totally laid
through
out,
like 30 yards.
Right.
It was so, he's so unbelievable. It's like just the things, they're unimaginable, the things he can do with the football. And obviously he doesn't have the resume that people are, just because he hasn't been in the league as long.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's fair to say, it's unfair to say he's the most talented quarterback ever.
No, yeah, I think it would be weird not to say that.
Yeah, absolutely. He's unbelievable. And, yeah, 2 out of 5. And this year was a rebuilding year. They took, instead of NFL, like a lot of NFL teams, they'll convert contracts into signing bonuses, which spread out the cap hit to try to go all in on this year. The Chiefs didn't do that. They traded Tyreek Hill. They lost their best receiver. So they were playing with Travis Kelce and a bunch of number twos and number threes. They beat the Bengals in the AFC Championship game. They win the Super Bowl against, we've said it, everyone's saying it, the best top-to-bottom roster in the NFL mm-hmm. in a rebuilding year. And they won the Super Bowl. And that's all, not all, but all Patrick Mahomes.
They're certainly not doing it with any other quarterback.
No, literally no other quarterback. And I would put Joe Burrow as the number two quarterback. But if you swap places, like, I think the Bengals would win the Super Bowl. I don't think the Chiefs win the Super Bowl with Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And I think I think the Bengals have a better roster, so I think no-brainer the Bengals would win the Super Bowl with Mahomes this year.
Right, yeah, no, he was just so unstoppable in the second half. I will say, I definitely don't think that they could have done that without, you know, what Andy Reid and that defense does, because in the second half, they totally take A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith out of the game, and that is what won it for them. You know, certainly they needed Patrick Mahomes to go and do all that stuff, but the reason we couldn't score is because we just could not find Jalen Hurts or Devonta Smith until midway through the fourth quarter, really, and that's why we couldn't score. And so, yeah, you know, great game to the Chiefs. Devonta Smith definitely caught that ball at the end of the first half. And that's not a hold that I would want to call if I were the ref. I do think it was a hold. I don't think it's a hold that I would want to call necessarily, even though I think I don't think the Eagles win, even if they let that go.
I think, yeah, this thing, even if they let it go, there's a chance the Chiefs score a touchdown. Realistically, they're getting a field goal, and Philly has a minute 20 to go get a field goal. I think we all would have loved to see that, but yeah, if it's a hold, it's a hold, as much of a bummer as it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that was the Super Bowl. Chiefs are awesome. I would expect both teams to be at the top of their conference next year. We haven't done free agency, we haven't done the draft, but I would expect, I don't know if they'll both be number one seeds again, but I expect them to both be competitive.
Well, they'll be competitive. The problem for the Eagles is going to be, A, you know, the 49ers are not going to be on a fourth string quarterback. B,
hopefully.
I think there's a good chance Jason Kelce is gone next year. I think there's an even bigger chance James Bradbury's gone next year, and that could end up being a huge problem for the defense.
Well, it wouldn't if you guys would draft a secondary player within the first four rounds.
We all know that's not – we both know that won't happen.
Right. Though. If it did happen, you'd be fine.
Right.
But it won't happen.
Yeah.
It's crazy how good your secondary is without doing that, though.
It is pretty amazing, yeah.
Let's run through the NFL awards really quick, then get to the top five. And then we're getting into draft season.
Fun.
My favorite part of the year. Also, baseball season starting soon, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah.
So, Mahomes won MVP. Jalen Hurts was in there. So good for him. But Mahomes MVP. Coach of the year, Brian Daboll. I think there's an argument for Kyle Shanahan with Brock Purdy is better than a seventh rounder, but he was the last pick of the draft for a reason.
Uh-huh.
They don't lose with him. They don't lose since October. Get all the way to number two seed, win the division.
Yeah, no, I think the Giants certainly did way better than they were expected to. I realize this is biased. I think that Nick Sirianni has an argument. I certainly didn't have the Eagles going all the way to the Super Bowl this year. They definitely overperformed.
Well, I don't think most people didn't believe in the Eagles until the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, a bunch of them thought one seed, easy schedule, they'll lose in the first round, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Sirianni now Daboll is also really, really good candidate, so it's not like he should not have won it.
Yeah.
But I think Sirianni or Shanahan could have won it. Or Dan Campbell in Detroit.
Yeah, honestly, Coach of the Year, I think they should just give, like, five guys and be like, these are five coaches who did a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid is another one that I want to throw out there, just because, you know, the consistency of his career, you know, doing all this stuff without Tyreek Hill, figuring out ways to win still. Yeah, I think he would have a case as well.
Now, comeback player of the year, Geno Smith. He was fantastic. He didn't really come back from anything other than just being not very good.
Come back from being bad,
yeah. Yeah, so I don't think he should have won it just because it's not really what the award's for, but very good year.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it's nice to see him do good just because of the way that he was treated in New York. You know, certainly didn't play very well, but yeah, good for him.
Offensive player of the year, Justin Jefferson. That's just become the best non-quarterback. MVP is just going to quarterbacks. Offensive player is non-quarterback. So no problem with that. Justin's crazy. He was the number two receiver at LSU. Yeah. And a lot of, like, coming into the draft is like, oh, it's probably a slot, probably number two receiver in the NFL. And he's just unbelievable.
No, yeah, that is who I would pick to win that award is Justin Jefferson. Absolutely. Eagles could have drafted him instead of Jalen Reagor, but it was the Jalen Reagor year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and this pick before, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, defensive player of the year, no-brainer, Nick Bosa. The best thing the Cardinals have ever done is draft Kyler Murray so the Niners could draft Bosa at number two.
Uh-huh.
Because the whole season, Well, the Niners were terrible. I think that was another year we were on, like, our fourth-string quarterback. So I was like, I'd love Nick Bosa, but we're not going to get the one seed. Probably we'll get it. And then Kyler Murray started shooting up the draft boards. And I was like, oh, they have Josh Rosen. The Cardinals do, so they're not going to draft him. And then they did. And then we got Nick Bosa. Yeah. And Kyler Murray's great, but my goodness, is Nick Bosa unbelievable.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
He's so good. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Garrett Wilson. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Sauce Gardner. I don't know when the same team had two, like, both Rookies of the Year. When the last time that happened was.
I don't know. I've certainly never heard of it.
I haven't done any research. Sauce Gardner is legitimate a top five cornerback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson was fantastic. Brock Purdy, I think, had an argument for Rookie of the Year, but if he would have played more games, I mean, he only played the last whatever bit of the season, so I get not giving it to him.
Yeah, he would have needed to play probably, I don't know, 11, 12 games, I would think.
Yeah. And same thing with Kenneth Walker, probably the front runner before he got hurt. But Garrett Wilson, great player. Fantastic receiver from Ohio State. That's kind of all the main awards. Darrelle Revis made it to the Hall of Fame.
Hey, good for him.
He was, like, when we were, like, getting into football, like, the best cornerback.
Yes. Yeah, no, he was the best by far.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I didn't realize that Rondé Barber was quite that good.
Yeah. No, I think he was better than Tiki. But yeah. Tiki was running back, so he got more publicity.
That's interesting.
Zach Thomas, when we lived in Chile, a missionary from Peru traded me a Zach Thomas Miami Dolphins jersey for something. But so I had a Zach Thomas Dolphins jersey on our mission when I was living in Chile.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. So Zach Thomas, he was cool. He was a stud. I think he was like 5'11 or something, like a super short for a linebacker, but he crushed it. He did great. Should we do the top five?
Let's do the top five.
Okay, so this is not Lord of the Rings, so not going to be as deep into literature as the last couple weeks.
Unfortunately
not. This is the top five walkable cities in the United States.
Let's do it.
Now, I was telling Matt before, it was hard to come up with more than five.
Yeah.
So, I don't think Atlanta's super walkable. I don't think, Los Angeles is definitely not walkable.
No.
Portland's not. Triangle's not. Trying to think of other places that aren't. Like, most of the Midwest cities we know. Oh!
Yeah. By the Triangle, you're talking about Chapel Hill, Durham, and Raleigh in North Carolina.
Right, yeah. Okay, yep. Okay, I thought of one. Okay, I just booted New York off the list.
Really?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Here's the thing, I just feel like I'm in the way of everyone in New York.
Yeah.
So I just have anxiety the whole time. Mm-hmm. So I'm, like, just stressed. So that doesn't make it very walkable to me.
That's fair.
Yeah. From a logistics standpoint, super easy. You know, it's a grid system. You know exactly where you are, exactly where you're going. Mm-hmm. But everyone's just so mean.
Yeah.
Now, my number five city also has the mean people problem, so you can have a quibble with this. But number five, I put Boston. Mm-hmm. Because you can't go a block without – if you need a donut, you have a donut.
Always need a donut.
Yeah. So, if you ever need Dunkin', Boston's the city for you.
Yeah.
Number four, Seattle. And this is, like, downtown Seattle, greater Seattle area, obviously. That's true with any city. But very pretty city downtown. Fun to walk around. Number three, Chicago. You're walking through the river, over the bridges. A ton of cool stuff is within walking distance of each other. Two's D.C.
Really? D.C.? Yeah. I haven't been to D.C. recently. But
no, it's not the most walkable, but it's walkable enough to qualify for the list, and there's just so much to do. So many museums, so much, like, U.S. history stuff, and it's just a pretty city.
Yeah.
So D.C.'s too. I think we both really like D.C.
Yes, I was only there for, like, a week when I was a sophomore in high school, so I don't remember as much, but...
Number one, San Francisco. I think you're going to guess that. Now, you can say it's too hilly. Yeah, it's just a calf workout. That's all it is. Uh-huh. You got a view of the ocean no matter where you are. It's beautiful. And literally, because it's a peninsula and everything's so crammed, you can walk basically anywhere depending on how much time you have.
Yes.
So, San Francisco's number one.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, those I haven't been to a lot of those places. Like, I haven't been to Seattle, for example. I think that your defense of Washington, D.C. in saying there's a lot to do and there's a lot of museums, I think you automatically have to put New York ahead of D.C. if we're going to say that.
Here's the thing, is that D.C. people aren't, like, super mean.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I didn't feel like I had that many problems when we were there. I just feel like we, you know, you kind of keep your head down.
You just kind of have the sense of, like, I just feel like I'm in everybody's way. Even if there's not, like, people actively, like, yelling at you the whole time, this you can just feel like, oh, they're mad at me. Like, they don't want me.
Right.
They can tell I'm not from here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I will say, nice thing about New York is I thought the best food was, like, the random deli shops just, like, on the street.
Yeah.
Like, we went to a bunch of nice restaurants. That might have been my favorite food.
Yeah. I think you're more of a deli sandwich guy than I am.
I am.
But yeah, definitely the best delis that I've been to, you know.
They're really good. No, and there's, like, yeah, museums are great in New York. I like it as a city. And obviously, again, you can walk everywhere. But just the people. And honestly, you probably can dock Boston for the same thing because those people aren't super nice either. But I just didn't feel like it was as dense, which I didn't feel like as in the way. In Boston.
Yeah, Boston did not feel as dense. And we were there the weekend right before the Boston Marathon, even.
Right.
And so yeah, the whole week before, I didn't feel like it was quite as dense as New York. So.
No, I think Boston has one of the best. I think we did metro systems or public transportation already, but Boston is really good. I like their train system, except for it's impossible to get to Foxborough.
Really? I was gonna put them at the bottom because of that. I feel like... I mean, I need to look at the map again. I remember Boston basically having one line going in two directions. I'm sure they have smaller lines going other places.
Yeah, I think there's like three or four. Like, there's a line to get to, like, Cambridge. Yeah. There's, like, a line that takes you to, like, Boston College and stuff like that.
Right.
But there's basically, like, one or two big ones and a few, like, jet-offs
yes,
of it.
Yes, that's what I remember.
Which makes it easy. Like, the New York one, it's not complicated, but it's much more complicated. Like, San Francisco has four.
Yeah.
And half of it, like, if you're in San Francisco, they're all the same thing, basically.
Right, yeah. And New York's is impossible, but they have a much harder task because they have so much more to cover. There's so many more places you would want to get out.
It's not New York's fault. And, yeah, a lot more ground to cover. And, like, people live, like, so far away, too. Yeah.
No, I seem to remember we did cover this because I remember talking about what I loved about Santiago's, which is A, Colectivos, but B, their subway system. It was pretty much just a circle. And then from the circle, you would have offshoots going to important places. But that one circle would take you really anywhere. And so it was very simple and covering a city of 9 million people. I was very impressed with that.
And we'll be back there this summer.
Yeah, so we're going to have to maybe record a couple episodes in advance and do like a delayed release.
Kind of like Dave did, David Archuleta. Didn't he like release an album on his mission? They like pre-recorded.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I heard he like to make like support his family. He like recorded something and like released it while he was gone, or like had someone release it while he was gone.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely possible.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like if it was trying to support his family, there's no reason he couldn't just do it before he left. If he did it,
I don't know.
It was just.
I mean,
less...
you knew him better than me, but
I mean, we weren't really talking about that. We were just kind of talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
So
yeah. He's a nice guy, David Archuleta.
He is a very nice guy. True. And I hate it when people say that famous people are humble, but he really was, like, the most humble person I've ever met.
Yeah, the first time I met him, I stuck my foot in my mouth, and I said something like, oh, you're on my iPod or something like that. And he was not, like, embarrassed, but was like, oh, I don't want to talk about this. And I felt like an idiot.
Yeah.
Which is fair, so.
Yeah, no. Yeah, definitely we didn't, I don't want to pretend like we were close or anything, but, one of my favorite missionaries, for sure, that I admired from a distance.
Yeah. Dave's a good dude. Yeah, so we'll figure something out when we go to Chile. What we'll do. But that's not until summer, so we have plenty of time. Yeah, we're getting into NFL draft season, getting into baseball season. All-Star Weekend is this weekend in Salt Lake City, so we'll probably go to some of that stuff. Possibly a big guest next week. Got to just check the logistics on that, but excited to talk to them, possibly. Appreciate everybody listening. Feel free to drop a 5-star if you haven't already, and we'll talk to you guys next week.